Hello? Hello. Alex mentioned meeting some new people. You've got a psalm being read by one of the old people, okay? Psalm 92, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy for the work of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him."
Thank you very much. So let's stand if we're able. Let's turn to those around us and give one another a warm SBC welcome, and then we'll begin with some songs of praise. And be a little bit healthier, shall we? So I've got some grapes, if these could be passed around, passed backwards.
Health and safety? You cut them in half lengthwise? Watch your children.
So as they get passed around, grapes are popular with all ages, with all kinds of different occasions as well. And so when you have a baby, they like to eat grapes. Obviously, you have to halve them. And I'm still peeling them for Penelope as well, which takes an absolute age. But it's good for little children. It's good if you want to be a little bit fancy and you have your nice cheeses and your nice crackers. It's nice to have a bunch of grapes on the side with those. And, of course, grapes are a very popular gift to give to someone when they're in hospital as well. So grapes have got all sorts of different possibilities. Penelope was just struggling on her half a grape there. But how would you describe the taste of grapes? What would you say that they were? They're sweet and they're juicy. And that's where I make a connection between grapes and a card that you should have all had on your chairs this morning. So if you'd like to grab your card, each year at SBC we have a verse for the year, a verse from the Bible which inspires us for the year. It inspires some of our teaching, it inspires some of our thinking, some of our plans for the year as well. So please do take this card with you. Please do put it in your Bible. Please do try and learn the verse as well, as it's always a good thing to do. If you have your card with you and you're able to read it with me, let's read it together. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's from John chapter 15, verse 5. So that is verse for the year. And there's many different things that we could be drawing out of that verse and out of the passage which it finds itself in as Jesus spoke about being the vine, about us being the branches, but also about how we should be fruitful in all that we do through the power of Jesus and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus requires each of us to be fruitful, for each of us to bear fruit. Now, that doesn't mean that we now have to go to the supermarket and we all have to get lots of grapes and strawberries and blueberries and raspberries and bananas and things like that, and then start handing out items of fruit to everyone. Although, that is, of course, a nice thing to do. But rather than us being fruitful in terms of actually growing or giving out lots of physical fruit, Jesus asks that we are fruitful in his Spirit. And in the Bible, it speaks about the fruits of the Spirit. That when each of us come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we not only change our thinking, but we also change what is inside of us as well. Because we have this wonderful promise, this wonderful reality, that the Holy Spirit himself starts to dwell in us, that he starts to live in us as a gift from Jesus himself. And out of this Spirit, out of this newness of life in each of us, we will bear fruits of the Spirit. And so each person who is a Christian, each person who is a follower of Christ, should start to bear the fruit of love, of joy, of peace, of goodness, of kindness, of faithfulness, of patience, of gentleness, the fruit of self-control. When we come to Christ, when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we start to bear these fruits, it creates a sweetness in what we say and also what we do. It's a sweetness, it's a juiciness that should be obvious for other people to see, to experience, and also to enjoy. We can be fruitful by realizing that Jesus is the vine. If ever you've seen a grapevine, you'll see this really long vine which goes on for ages and ages and ages. And it's like a really long stem or a really long trunk that goes along. And from it sprouts branches. And from those branches grows grapes. Jesus is the vine. He is the one that supplies all of the nutrients, all of the life, all of the support. We are his branches. We are joined to him. We remain with him. And his nourishment and his life come through to us. But it doesn't stop with us. It starts with the fruitfulness. Because as each of us is a branch, so each of us is called to bear fruit as well. And what we want as we choose this verse for the year is we want SBC to be fruitful in 2020. We want to be fruitful when we gather together on Sunday mornings and in different contexts. We want to be fruitful when we pray together. We want to be fruitful when we put in any kind of effort at all, so that we are fruitful in producing great mission and great maturity. Great mission so that we can go out and we can take this sweetness and this juiciness with us and we can show people the sweetness and the wonderfulness of God. But also not only do we want to be fruitful in mission, but also in maturity as well. So that when we come to the end of this year, we are not the same as we are today, but that we have grown in those fruits of the Spirit for our own joy and for the glory of God. We're going to explore this in different ways over the coming weeks and months. But for now, I want you to take your cards home. And if you like grapes and if you can eat grapes, I want you to pop the grape into your mouth. Some of you may have already eaten your grape. You can imagine, put in an imaginary grape. Maybe we might still have some more to pass around. Should have been clearer on that, shouldn't I? Close your eyes and imagine that you've got a grape in your mouth. Taste or imagine the sweetness. Imagine yourself. Imagine yourself in this year. Imagine being sweeter in what you say. Imagine being sweeter in what you do. Imagine the effect it will have on others. Imagine SBC, your local church, your local church family. Imagine it being sweet this year. Being sweet in what it says to the community. Imagine it being sweet in what it does for the community. Imagine the effect that it will have as we spread this sweetness. As we begin a new year together, it's good for us to pray and for us to commit ourselves to being fruitful to one another and also to God. And so Hannah and I are going to lead us all in some responsive prayers. So Hannah, if you'd like to come up. And Hannah is going to lead the women, and I am going to lead the men in prayer. And so we're going to start off with a Bible verse that the women are going to read out, and then when we go on to the next slide, the men are going to read out. Then Hannah or I will pray, and then everyone together will respond with, "You have asked us to bear fruit for you. This is to the Father's glory." We've got four of these to do, so hopefully by the end of it, we'll have got used to it.
The Apostle Paul said, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow, for we are God's fellow workers." Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being your fellow workers, through whom others come to believe. Help us to fulfill your calling and accomplish the task you give us to do, planting, watering, harvesting. But thank you that you are the one who gives the growth. We pray that you will work amongst us and do what you promised to do and rescue the lost, redeem broken lives and build your church. Amen. You have asked us to bear fruit for you. This is to the Father's glory.
Our Lord Jesus said, "Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. The reaper harvests for eternal life." Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone who has sowed seeds into the lives of the people around us, to whom you give us the privilege of reaching for you. For the prayers and examples of parents and grandparents, for children and youth ministries, for the prayers of friends and churches that have touched the lives of each family. Help us to play the part you ask us to sow seeds, to prepare the soil of hearts, to gather new children into your kingdom, that we might rejoice together with the angels in heaven. Amen.
You have asked us to bear fruit for you. This is to the Father's glory.
Our Lord Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord to send out workers into his harvest field." Heavenly Father, we thank you for every single individual who has responded to your call to go out into your harvest field. We pray that you would anoint us, fill us with faith, fill us with love, give us boldness and gracious speech that we might reap a harvest for you. And Lord, please knit us all together, whatever our task. May we all work together in harmony under you as our head. Amen. You have asked us to bear fruit for you. This is to the Father's glory.
The Apostle Paul said, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let us keep in step with the Spirit." Heavenly Father, help us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, that we might be clearly recognized as authentic disciples and demonstrate the gospel by our character and our behavior to all who come into our sphere of influence. Amen.
You have asked us to bear fruit for you. This is to the Father's glory.
Amen. Thank you. As we commit ourselves to one another, as we commit ourselves to God, so we come under the banner of our beliefs in who God is and what God is about. So around churches, around the whole country today, people will be saying the Apostles' Creed together as a set of ancient statements where we declare who God is. And rather than saying it together this morning, we are going to sing it. So if you're able, would you please stand? Interesting indeed. Today I brought with me our Christmas tree. And when you get married, you bring together different perspectives, different traditions, especially over Christmas time. And in Hannah's family, they're very much into their artificial trees. And in my family, they always get real trees. And so far, I've managed to persuade Hannah to have a real tree each year. And normally, we get one that has been cut off at the bottom, and we try and keep it going as long as we can. And then, like what a lot of people do, they'll put them out in the front, ready for the garden waste collectors to come and grab them. But this year, we decided to try something a little bit different and actually get a Christmas tree which has been grown in a pot. And we will see how we get on as the years go by. But when we bought it, it wasn't looking quite so healthy as it is now. Maybe that's why we got it in the sale, I'm not sure. But the pot that it was in, the pot which I guess it had been grown in from seed, was in a pretty bad state. It was really quite a small pot. It was cracked down one side. There were roots kind of escaping from the pot. And it was leaning onto one side as well. We couldn't get it to stand up straight. And so the first thing that I did when we got our Christmas tree home was to get it a proper container and to plant it properly so it has its best start to its life. And I'm hoping that as it grows from year to year, that we'll need to put it in bigger containers, which will give it all the best chance that it has to keep on growing, to keep on flourishing. In the same way, we can find ourselves in different containers in our lives. We find ourselves in different containers which, to no surprise, contain us. They limit us. They determine what we turn into. They determine whether we flourish or whether we wither. Hopefully, we find ourselves in some very healthy and helpful containers. We might be in a good family situation where there's much encouragement, where there is much help, where there is much support and love, and that helps us to thrive. Hopefully, we find ourselves in a helpful working container where we earn what we think we deserve to earn, where we get support at work where things are difficult, and where we find our work worthwhile. Hopefully, we've got friendship groups which help give us a good container in which we can flourish as well. Friends which are loving towards us, who have got good things to say to us, where they wish the very best for us as well. But sometimes we can find ourselves in unhealthy and unhelpful containers, which stop us from thriving and hold us back. You can probably think of many unfortunate situations that you may have been in, or someone that you know has been in or is currently in. But if we're not careful, if we find ourselves in bad containers, they can really hold us back and stop us from growing and into flourishing into the person that we want to be and that God wants us to be as well. I don't tend to use examples when I'm speaking about this sort of thing, but it's been very widely reported in the newspapers, so I will share it. There's a former Arsenal player, sorry for talking about football, but there's a former Arsenal player called Paul Merson. And he was my absolute favourite player in the 90s. And I used to remember going up to Highbury and watching him, and he just had the most incredible skill, made incredible things happen. And yet even back in the mid-90s, his life was a bit of a mess. In 1994, he admitted that he was an alcoholic, that he gambled, and that he used cocaine. His career tailed off, and now he is a pundit for Sky Sports. And so from time to time, I still see him on TV. But just over the last couple of days, he's been in the newspapers again, revealing how he still struggles with gambling and with alcoholism. And I was shocked because I thought, that was so many years ago that he came out with this problem. And yet still, he's been sober for a year, but still he's finding himself contained by these problems. And maybe just, although we may not want to share it, amongst us, maybe many of us, maybe all of us, have got certain containers that we find ourselves in, that year after year we find ourselves contained and restricted by a certain habit, by a certain attitude, by a certain vice, which stops us from flourishing and rather keeps us withered spiritually, but also perhaps mentally and physically as well. At the start of a new year, it is good for us to be thinking about what we are going to be contained by. What containers are we willing to plant ourselves in so that we won't wither, but rather that we'll flourish? And so that is why I've picked Psalm 92 as a great way for us to start a year. Tim was very kind in reading the whole psalm to us, which inspired us in our worship. And I'm just going to read just the last few verses from the psalm for us to reflect on over the next few minutes. So I'm going to read Psalm 92, verses 12 through to 15. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They'll grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." They are planted in the house of the Lord. Depending on your church experience and background, this phrase, house of the Lord, might be unfamiliar to you, but it might actually be familiar also. It's quite an old-fashioned term that you might find in some kind of older Pentecostal churches that love to talk about the local church as the house of the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord. You have entered the house of the Lord. Now leave the house of the Lord. It's a phraseology that we probably wouldn't use, but some others might. But it's not good for us to be thinking of the house of the Lord as simply a building or a place or a gathering on a Sunday, but rather in the context of the house of the Lord. It's much broader than that. It's much greater than that. It's much sweeter than that. The 17th century theologian John Owen said this: to be planted in the house of the Lord is to be fixed and rooted in the grace communicated by the ordinances of divine worship. There's a certain richness about being in the house of the Lord. It's not really a location, but it's a state of being worshipful, of being gracious and being grateful for the worship that we can have with God. And our psalm says that when we plant ourselves in the house of the Lord, when we plant ourselves in these ordinances of divine worship, if we want to use language like that, when we plant ourselves in the house of the Lord as a container, we won't be like what my Christmas tree was like, where it was unstable, where it was dry, where it was cracked, where it was withered. But rather, if we're in the house of the Lord as our container, then we will flourish. Now, flourish is not a term that we'd use very often. It's not a word that we use in everyday language. If someone asks you how you are, you're not likely to say, "Oh, I'm just flourishing at the moment," are you? It's unlikely that you're going to say that. But for the context of this morning, and maybe for the year, it's a helpful word for us to be thinking about. When we think of something flourishing, we think of something growing. We think of something maturing. We think of something that is developing into what it was intended to do. Whatever the season might be, if something can flourish, then it is healthy, it is well, it is attractive, and it is appreciated. I hope that each of us have an expectation that this year is going to be a year where whatever happens, we are able to flourish as we're planted in the house of the Lord. Our psalm says that the righteous, those who make good choices, those who commit themselves to God, who follow God, will flourish like the palm tree and will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. If we are in the right container and we flourish, we will flourish like two very precious trees in the Middle East. Both the palm tree and the cedar are evergreen. They're healthy, they're beautiful, they're bright, they stand out in whatever season. Everything else around it could be dead and miserable, and yet they continue to be green, continue to show life and hope. I hope that whatever seasons we go through this year, and we have to appreciate there's going to be difficult seasons, that we can be flourishing like the cedar, like the palm tree, where we continue to be green and show hope to others. Both the palm and the cedar also have longevity as well. They will live and they will survive and they will thrive for many, many years. We don't want people here just falling away. We want to be able to flourish so that we can persevere year after year, keeping green, keeping healthy, keeping positive, keeping hopeful in the grace of God. If we think specifically of the palm tree, palm trees are incredibly fruitful. Now you might think, okay, palm trees, what fruit do they produce? Well, they produce coconuts. Well, some do. But in the Middle East, they don't produce coconuts, they produce dates. And if you know anything about the religions in the Middle East or anything about the Middle East itself, you'll know that dates are a very popular fruit. They're used at times of celebration. They're used for their sweetness. They're used to bring joy. if we flourish like a palm tree, then we will produce a sweet fruit ourselves, which others can enjoy. Palm trees are also used in different situations as well. The palm leaves used to be used to congratulate the winners of the Corinthian Olympic Games. They were a sign of victory. If we flourish like the palm tree, then we can show others that we have, whatever the situations, whatever we come up against, whatever our enemies might be, we can be victorious over them because we're flourishing, because we're planted in the house of the Lord. We thought about the palm tree. What about the Lebanese cedar? You will see that these trees are huge. These trees are strong and they're durable as well. How wonderful would it be if we can flourish into Lebanese cedars so that we're not knocked around by the wind and the rain and the weather as storms come into our lives, but rather we stand strong, planted in the house of the Lord so that nothing can knock us over. But the hope that we have today will be a hope that endures for tomorrow as well. When we read in the Old Testament about Solomon's temple being built, one of the main materials which is used is the Lebanese cedar. It was strong, it was durable, but it also smelt nice. It was wonderfully scented. It had a wonderful aroma about it, which was perfect for a place of worship. How great it would be if we can be like the Lebanese cedar, where we can flourish as we're planted in the house of the Lord, so that as we go around, we take a lovely aroma with us. Maybe for Christmas, some of you got a new perfume or a new aftershave. It's a lovely way of sharing a nice aroma. But an even sweeter, more wonderful aroma is the aroma of hope, which God gives to us if we flourish with him. As we come to a new year, we might think about what we want to get out of this year. We might have some new resolutions or new ways of living. Maybe we want to find new love. Maybe we want to become fitter and healthier. Maybe there's certain career goals that we might have, or things that we want to buy or invest in. But the crucial question that I ask you this morning, and it's a question that we ask at the beginning of every year, and I hope that does bear some fruit, is your love life might develop, your fitness might develop, your financial security might develop, your career might develop, but how do you want to develop? You're unlikely to see many articles in newspapers or magazines that are about you and your soul and your well-being and about how they might develop this year. But how do you want to develop? It depends on what container you decide to plant yourself in. For many, they will decide to plant themselves in containers which are not healthy for them. They will end up like grass. Grass springs up quickly, but it withers and it soon dies. Is that the kind of flourishing that we want? Is that the kind of growth that we want? Is that the kind of development that we want as followers of Christ this year, where we'll just get weaker and weaker and wither away? Or will we choose to plant ourselves in the house of the Lord and become fruitful? Fruitful in old age. I'm 33 now. This time next year, I'll be 34. Will I be bearing more fruit as a 34-year-old than a 33-year-old? I hope so. And I hope that you will be too, whatever age you might be. If you plant yourself in the house of the Lord, you will stay fresh and you will stay green. We don't want to be people, like so many people do, who just become increasingly bitter as life goes on. that life just takes its toll. We want to be staying fresh. We want to be staying green so that we can be fruitful in whatever age we are, but also in our old age as well. Here's a good question for you. When is the best time to plant a tree? Any suggestions? Sorry? Anytime? Anytime someone said spring? I'm going to say the best time, or Craig Rochelle rather says, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. If you want to enjoy a tree today, you should have planted it 20 years ago. When is the next best time to plant a tree? It's now. Now is the time to be planted in the house of the Lord and establish roots so that you're able to flourish and to grow into what you want to be, and more importantly, what God wants you to be as well. Roots, we know, receive nutrients from the soil, and that helps the plant to flourish. Also, roots at the same time give back nutrients to help other plants around it flourish as well. So as we think about putting roots into the house of the Lord this year, think about the things that you could be receiving, and think about the things which you could be giving, so that you will be flourishing and so that those around you will flourish as well. In terms of receiving, maybe you could do with receiving some advice on how to flourish in your faith. Maybe there's so many new resources out there, so many different ideas all the time. If you're feeling a bit stuck, if you're thinking, I want to flourish this year, but I'm not quite sure how to go about it, then why not ask one of us? Why not receive that gift from one of us? I want you to receive so that you can flourish. Why not receive in a way of joining a house group this year? You will receive so much more at a house group than you will on a Sunday morning. You can receive from people around you, people who want to encourage you, people who want to invest in you, people who want to help give you nutrients and give you health so that you can flourish to be all that God wants you to be. Why don't you receive this year by becoming part of a prayer triplet? We don't talk about it much at church, but there are a number of people who are in prayer triplets, people who get together or who text or WhatsApp or whatever and just share prayer requests with one another. Why not start one of those this year and receive that personal prayer and support? For some of you, why don't you receive baptism this year? Baptism is a wonderful gift to help you be immersed into the house of the Lord, into the church, and into the kingdom of God as well. If you're interested in being baptized, then please do let me know, and we'll start a course for that soon. But not only be thinking about what you can receive in as you plant yourselves in the house of the Lord this year, but also what you can give as well. Maybe it's a better attitude towards your fellow believers. Maybe being a bit more patient or being a little bit more selfless. Maybe you could give in terms of becoming a member of the church. We want SBC to be thriving, and the ways in which we work, membership really helps with us to thrive. Why not think about how you give and give financially? Not something that we talk about very often at church, but at the beginning of a new year. If we want the church to invest in the local community, it means that we need to be investing into the church. Maybe at the start of a new year, it's a good time to be thinking about and to be chatting about perhaps increasing your giving in some way, making a sacrifice in one area so that you can give more in another to help SBC and other organisations that you might want to give to really flourish for the kingdom as well. I really hope that this year, 2020, will be a year of fruitfulness. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We're going to be exploring this verse, the passage around it, and different verses in the Bible as well, in many different ways throughout the year, because we want this year to be the year where we truly flourish, both as individuals, but also as a church as well. And so I want to finish with this very basic question for you to be mulling over, for you to be thinking about. What will you be planted in this year? We're all going to be contained by something. Are we going to plant ourselves in things which make us wither? Are we going to plant ourselves in things which make us thrive? What does it mean for you to plant yourselves and to deepen your roots into the house of the Lord? Amen.